for me, that was a profoundly important experience because it demonstrated really for the first time that by understanding the immune system of an individual patient, you can understand how their disease is going to progress.
Welcome to the AWS Health Innovation Podcast, where you can learn from entrepreneurs and investors who are driving progress in healthcare and life science around the globe. Did you know that the immune system plays a crucial role in almost every aspect of our health? I'm Alex Merwin, Head of Growth for Healthcare and Life Science Startups at AWS, and today I'm hosting Adam Lang of IMU Biosciences on the show. IMU Biosciences is transforming our understanding of the immune system by leveraging AI-powered immune profiling to create unprecedented insights into health and disease, then advancing precision medicine through collaborations with leading pharma, research organizations, and academic institutions. Honestly, the immune system and its complexity blows my mind a bit, so I really enjoyed this one, and I hope you do too. Here we go. Welcome to the AWS Health Innovation Podcast. I am here today with Adam Lang, the co-founder and chief scientific officer of IMU Biosciences. We're both enjoying a sunny day here in London on a Friday, getting ready to head into our weekends. But first, we're going to learn a little bit more about the company, what you all do, and I can't wait to get into it. Maybe, Adam, we can just start and you can tell us who is IMU Biosciences and what do you all do?
Thanks, Alex. It's great to be here, first off. And before I launch into IMU Biosciences, maybe I should introduce myself. I'm a systems immunologist. I worked in academia for many years, and I focused primarily on developing better ways to measure and analyze and ultimately understand the immune system in patients receiving different treatments and trying to understand immunogenetics, etc. And that ultimately led to the founding of IMU Biosciences in the summer of 2021. And we are a team of immunologists, data scientists, engineers, and operators who are committed to building a comprehensive understanding of the immune system, how it works, to the point where we can understand the immune system of a patient and understand what therapy is going to be most appropriate for their treatment. So we are based in London. We have a headcount of about 30. We raised Series A back in January, and we are a precision immunology company.
Fantastic. So you're founded in the summer of 2021. So, you know, it was the, when can I say it was the tail end of the COVID-19 pandemic? I think we were getting there then, but given your research at King's, like clearly was happening throughout the pandemic, how did the COVID-19 pandemic impact your work and research, and did it have any impact on IMU Biosciences development?
Yeah, so in the summer, actually, of 2018, I conceived of the idea for IMU and set off on that journey. But of course, it was interrupted by the pandemic. And given the nature of everything that was going on, it was wholly appropriate that myself and a great many very talented colleagues at King's College London and the Francis Crick Institute dropped everything and set about trying to understand what was going on immunologically in patients infected with SARS-CoV-2. And you have to remember, this was in the very early days of the pandemic where we really didn't understand much about the virus. So, for example, we didn't know necessarily how it was transmitted at the time. And we worked with Guy's Hospital, which was ground zero in London, to profile the immune systems of around 80 patients that were severely sick in hospital with COVID-19. And the question was very simple. We have a totally new pathogen. No one in the species has ever been infected with this before. There's no memory in the population. And when I say memory, of course, immunological memory, there was no protection at the time. And we have this situation where some people are infected and they don't even realize and are able to continue life as normal, whereas other people tragically succumb to the disease. And the hypothesis we had at the time was the immune system is the primary mechanism by which we fight infection. And differences in the outcomes of these patients might be directly linked to how their immune system is able to function when challenged with this virus. And over the course of around 100 days, we did an unbelievable amount of work. And again, just to pay credit to all of the individuals involved. And we published the first really comprehensive account of how the immune system was dealing with the virus. And from that, we were able to identify components of the immune response that actually could very accurately predict when a patient showed up at a hospital at A&E, they could accurately predict whether or not they would need to be on intensive care in 10 days' time. And mercifully, that test was never really needed because, of course, the nature of the pandemic changed. We have vaccines. Various different strains of the virus emerged that were less severe in terms of their infection. But for me, that was a profoundly important experience because it demonstrated really for the first time that by understanding the immune system of an individual patient, you can understand how their disease is going to progress. And if you think about that more broadly, infectious disease is a very obvious example, but obvious example rather of where our immune systems are important. But actually, if you take a step back, our immune systems are involved in every aspect of our health. And that means that it's responsible for protecting us against developing cancer. It's responsible for regulating our metabolism to a degree. It's involved in risk for cardiovascular disease and neurodegenerative disease, wound healing. The list goes on and on. And actually, if you could really understand the immune system down to the level of the individual person or patient, you could have a really transformative impact on how we think about caring for patients, how we stratify risk, how we identify which drugs are going to work for which patients. And that was just tremendously exciting and provided a very, well, it was needed necessarily, but very clear confirmation that IMU needed to exist. And shortly after the pandemic, we set out and founded.
So when we met, I was really excited about what you're building just due to, you know, how specific you're getting with characterizing these cell subtypes. And I'd like to hear from you in more detail about your approach to immune profiling, right? And put it in, you know, we have many people who listen to the show that don't have core life sciences backgrounds. And so if you could explain it like I'm five kind of approach, and also to how your approach differs from, let's say, traditional methods, right? And what advantages your method brings.
Yeah. Our immune systems are fantastically complicated. I think I would describe it as beautifully complicated, actually. I think in terms of the level of complexity of a biological system, it's second only to our brains. So it really is a tremendously sophisticated, complex network of very specialized cell subset. Some cells are responsible for identifying and killing viruses. Some cells are responsible for surveilling tissues for signs of cancer. And all of these cell types have to work together and collaborate to be able to mount an effective response to any infection or cancer or vaccine. And right now, if you were to go to GP's surgery or go into hospital and the doctor wanted to understand how well your immune system was put together, they would order up what's called a full blood count. And that measures the five major immune cell subtypes that exist in a blood sample. And those specific cells are the same ones that you can identify by looking down a microscope at a blood smear. And that test has been around in various guises for well over 100 years. But it does in no way capture the complexity of the immune system. And what we've developed is an approach that allows us to measure the immune profile of an individual to a level of resolution of 2,000 different discrete types of immune cells. So we measure from a 2 mL blood sample, millions of individual immune cells, and we can categorize them into 2,000 categories, essentially. And each one of those categories has its own specific function in the system. But very importantly, we can measure them at the same time. So we can build an understanding of how the system operates in that individual.
So tell me about like how this analysis works. Are there any imaging modalities you use? Do you have to develop your own biochemistry? What is the state of the science and how generalizable and scalable is it?
So we are using tech, specifically something called flow cytometry that, without going into too much detail, uses a combination of lasers and fluorescent markers to define the what we call phenotype of cells. And this allows us to measure 75 cell surface proteins in parallel. And the tech is the cornerstone of modern immunology research. If you go to any journal and look at any immunology paper, odds on, you'll find some flow cytometry data in there. It's really widely used. What we have done is implement it in a way that is both really sensitive and really high resolution. So we've really cranked the functionality of the tech. But more importantly, we've gone to great lengths to establish ways of working that are both really scalable. We can measure thousands of immune systems, but also really robust and stable over time. So these instruments typically change in their level of sensitivity from day to day, and that can confound your ability to resolve biological signals in any sample. And we've developed approaches that allow us to account for that and essentially calibrate the machines really well. So that's the sort of lab processing piece. Where we've been really innovative is in how we analyze the data. So every sample, every immune system that we look at is actually upwards of 100 million independent measurements. And the parameter space within that is enormous. There's several trillion possible permutations of cells that could exist. And to analyze it in all of those immunology papers that I described a moment ago relies on the manual expert analysis of highly trained immunologists who know what an immune system should look like and look at the raw data and do a process of analyses. It's very long-winded. Now, when you're operating at the sort of scale that we've achieved at IMU, that's not feasible. First of all, it introduces operator bias. So two different people looking at the same data will give you slightly different answers. But most importantly, we couldn't accommodate that level of analysis. So we've developed some very capable machine learning-based approaches that can take those 100 million independent measurements and almost immediately translate it into what we call a usable immune profile, which is this person has this many T cells, this many B cells, this many T regs, et cetera, times 2,000. And that has been probably one of the most important steps on our journey to be able to scale this tech and to generate the data and the insights that we're now able to do.
And so where do you see your technology being integrated within the healthcare system? Do you see this being an assay that the established labs would introduce or somewhere else?
It's a great question. I think I'll approach it via three separate lines of attack, if you don't mind. So the first one is philosophical. As I said, the immune system is so fundamentally important to our health. It's shocking to think that we can't understand it at the level of the individual. And the way it's integrated into all of the different aspects of our physiology means that there's almost certainly value to be able to measure your immune system in the same way we currently measure cholesterol or your blood pressure. How do we get there? Because this is really cutting edge technology, we start by identifying key applications in the space. So where is this sort of information most desperately needed? I'll give you one example, if I may. Cancer treatment has evolved over the last 10 years to a point where we are now increasingly reliant on drugs that use the immune system to kill the tumor. And what's important to recognize here is that everybody's immune system is very different from one another. There's huge variation in the population, and that's even more of a problem in cancer patients, where you also have the impact of the cancer on the immune system, but also all of the other lines of treatment. Now, these therapies can be curative of very lethal cancers, and that's an amazing thing to be able to say, because it's not true of many cancer treatments, actually. And despite all of that, the success that has been enjoyed in the space, these treatments still only work for a fraction of patients. And the thesis here is a simple one. Given that everybody's immune system is different, different levels of functionality, different levels of fitness, if you could understand the immune system of the patients prior to receiving treatment, you could identify who is going to respond well. And responding well is, of course, killing the cancer, but it's also not mounting some of the adverse immunological related toxicities. And if you can do that, then you can take it a step further and you can say, now I know what a good immune system looks like to be able to respond to this, to kill this cancer. What do I do with the 80% of patients who aren't going to respond? And there's lots of things you can do to augment immunological function. So I'll give you another example. Anecdotally, patients who receive a flu vaccine near the time of their treatment with these anti-cancer drugs have a better overall response to the therapy. But of course, the way you augment the immune system could be very different depending on the patient. So there's a lot of exciting stuff to do in that space. And then the third piece is how we've developed the technology. So we have focused very much on making this a stable, robust, feasible, scalable approach to understanding the immune system of a patient. And that is deliberately so that it can be deployed in the clinical context. So we are now in a position where we can go from a blood sample to a result in 2 hours. And of course, that can be very valuable in the clinic where you're trying to make these decisions quick.
That's amazing. Do you have any early clinical collaborations, or where are you at with validating your technology with early customers?
Yeah, we have a fantastic network of partners, if that's not too nebulous a thing to say, but maybe I'll go into a little more detail. Right now, we're working with a range of biotech and biopharma partners to help them understand how patients are responding to their immunotherapies in clinical trials. We're also assisting in certain aspects of drug development, and we could talk about those in a moment, perhaps. And then we have a range of programs in place working with clinical academics, where we are systematically profiling the immune systems of patients undergoing specific treatments. And broadly speaking, this spans immune oncology, autoimmune disease, transplantation, and cell therapy. And what's universal amongst all of those examples is that it requires no imagination whatsoever to see why understanding the immune system will be so important.
So, Adam, looking back at some of the early days, right, we talked about your research at King's and then creating the company, but what were some of the most significant hurdles and obstacles you encountered in those really early days? The 0 to 1 is, it could have been people-based challenges, could have been technical or scientific. What were some of those really challenging things to address right out of the gate?
Yeah, I'm sure this is not unique to us, but one of the challenges faced by any company starting out like this is, how do you land your first partnerships where you're asking collaborators or customers to take a punt on what at the time is essentially just a nice idea? And we were really fortunate there, and again, credit to the team and our partners for taking that gamble, I guess, on us. But we brought in some really great collaborations early on, and that was really transformative in how we were able to accelerate.
Tell me a little bit more about how you got those collaborations. So was it just through your network? What did you need to show them to demonstrate value so that they would commit? How did you get those initial partners to take a bet on you?
Network was really important. Absolutely. I think also our reputation in the space played an important role, as that's prior to IMU, our individual reputations in immunology and this type of analysis. And then it's a question of identifying people who can buy into a big vision, I think, and be willing to take a punt on these types of approaches. And we did really well.
And we talked a little bit about oncology, but are there other therapeutic areas where you think this type of fine-grained immune system characterization could be important for precision medicine? Is such a buzzword, right? But enabling more finely grained patient stratification and smaller patient cohorts and more effective treatments. I'm thinking like any immune-mediated diseases like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, classic autoimmune. Are there indications you're thinking about as a team?
Yes, there are. So I'll give you a very concrete example of a really cool application in the space. So this is related to what we call allogeneic cell therapy. And the basic principle is you have a patient with cancer and their immune system hasn't been able to kill that cancer on its own. So what you can do is you can take specialized cancer killing cells from a healthy person, grow them in a lab, coach them to kill cancer, and then inject them into the patient. And it's a really cool, futuristic, very promising approach to therapy here. But it's not without its challenges. And one of the most significant is everybody's immune system's different. And if that is your starting material, healthy immune systems, how do you identify the individual people who are going to be the best donors to generate these exciting new therapies? And the current state of the art is that these individuals are chosen at almost random, or maybe age and sex might be considerations. But what it ends up looking like is that there are huge failure rates in the manufacturing of these therapies. And what we can do is we can come in and bring a very deep level of understanding to the immune system of those donors. And we can predict, just from a small blood sample, which donors are going to grow really good cell therapy products. And of course, that can drive huge efficiencies in the manufacturing of these therapies and ultimately have a massive impact on how accessible they are to the patients that need them. And this is a program of work that we're running right now with collaborators in the cell therapy space. And it's been very rewarding. But on another level, it's been one of those key demonstrations of what we can do. So we can essentially look at an immune system and predict what's going to happen in the future. And of course, that has all sorts of applications across all sorts of areas in precision immunology.
We talked about flow cytometry and how you use machine learning to take the 100 million, I believe is what you said, different measurements and collapse that away into a profile that's usable and more easily computable. Are there other enabling technologies that needed to be in place for IME Biosciences to be a reality? So it's a why now question. Why is now the perfect time for your company?
So again, I'll give you three answers to this question. So the first one is the physical tech. And that takes into account all sorts of considerations in terms of the development of lasers, optics, the availability of a sufficient number of different fluorescent markers that we can use in the space. All of that has been slowly building over the last 50 years, actually, and is now in a position where we can leverage it to generate this really rich data. Another key component is, of course, the computational side. So advances in machine learning, advances in computer power, infrastructure is a really important part of what we do. And then the third piece is the appreciation in the field of how profoundly important the immune system is and how wildly different individual immune responses are to these treatments. And those three things really have enabled us to launch.
Shifting gears and looking at the internal dynamics of the company, the academic cultures between machine learning and traditional biology, they're quite different, right? Like a machine learning academic might be happy to put the paper up on archive. They're not going for a tenure position at a university. How have you approached creating a cohesive team culture at IME Biosciences and helping these professional researchers from very different disciplines learn from one another?
So that's a great question. And the most important part of cultivating that culture is hiring the right people, and specifically people who are really motivated by the mission and vision, but also are really collaborative in how they work. And that's been central to our process. And I'm delighted to say we've got a fantastic team. And then the other aspect is how we all at IMU learn from one another. And it's been great to watch over the last 3 years as the immunologists have become much more data savvy and the data scientists have got a very impressive grasp on immunology now. So it's been terrific, actually.
How do you do that specifically? So do you have like a journal club where people can bring something and you'll actively discuss it? Do you do anything specific with the team to try to encourage that collaboration, or do you find that it happens organically?
So we do precisely that type of thing to encourage this, but really no amount of journal clubs or conference reports or anything like that will substitute for getting a team of smart multidisciplinarians in a room and giving them a problem. And that's what we've found to be the most effective. And actually it's shaped how we approach projects now. We have these, as you might imagine, actually, these cross-function matrix teams with representation from data science, machine learning, immunology, and lab operations, and tackling every project that comes through the door.
Yep. Yeah. How did you approach fundraising? And do you have any advice for other founders as they're trying to find either dilutive or non-dilutive sources of funding and finding good investment partners? Is there any advice you'd give for others?
Yeah, absolutely. Workshop the story to death. You need to have a really crystal clear narrative of what you're going to do, why it's so important, and why you're the only people that are going to be able to deliver it. The other aspect is having, again, the right network. Network's really important. And for us, we've been very lucky to bring in some fantastic investors who've been unbelievably supportive of what we're trying to do and really have helped shape the company since its inception.
And what's your mission for the future? I see you just rose your Series A. What are your current development goals that are going to put you in a position for future fundraising later or commercializing your product?
Yeah, so commercialization, of course, is a key aspect of this. And the way we're tackling that is we have key applications of the technology that we can deploy and commercialize. And that serves two purposes. The first one is, it allows us to take the entire journey from discovering the relationship between some aspect of immunobiology and disease all the way to deploying it at the bedside. So understanding a patient with that disease. And that's really important demonstration of value. More broadly, what's our ambition, I guess, if I'm reading that question rightly, what are we going to do in the future? And the concept is very simple. We need to be able to understand the immune system of a person because it's going to have all sorts of implications for how you think about their risk of neurodegenerative disease, cardiovascular disease, developing cancer. And all of that can be serviced by building data, which is very important to what we're doing because it improves, obviously, the models and the performance of our predictions, but also the commercial success that comes from walking that route to market.
Adam Lang, the co-founder and chief scientific officer of IMU Biosciences, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a lot of fun.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us today for the AWS Health Innovation Podcast. If you want to get in touch with AWS, please check out our show notes where you can find a link. If you enjoy the podcast, the best way to support us is to share it with your colleagues and friends. We also really appreciate your reviews and ratings wherever you listen to podcasts. We love hearing feedback from our listeners, so please don't hesitate to get in touch. Again, you'll find all the details in our show notes. See you next week.